You're listening to Extra Credit, a weekly podcast from the National Association of Credit Management, where you can expect to hear from different credit professionals each Friday. We'll help you stay informed about the latest in the B2B credit world. My name is Anna Caroline Caruso, NACM's editor-in-chief. Now let's dive into this week's top stories. First, we're taking a look at how the August NACM Combined Credit Managers Index remained unchanged from last month's reading of 55. However, the manufacturing and service sectors are indicating very different economic conditions. NACM economist Amy Cruz Cutts says the service sector is indicating continued economic growth, while the manufacturing sector index is pointing more toward recession conditions as it nears contraction territory.
This month in the August CMI, we had some interesting trends pop up. Importantly, the combined index was level at 55 points, which is still solidly in expansionary territory. We had some big changes in the manufacturing sector, which fell to the lowest point that it's been since May of 2020. So we're almost back to kind of where we were, just pulling out of the worst of the pandemic recession. So it's at 51.6 points. Services, on the other hand, rebounded, bumping up 2.3 points this month to 58.4. So very solidly showing services holding on to, economic gains.
Cutts says the sharp drop in dollar collections, sales, and dollar amount beyond terms is what she finds most troubling.
Really, what was troubling me in the manufacturing index was the breadth of the decline, particularly in sales. It was 8.8 points were lost there. And then we're seeing this steady decline in the dollar amount beyond terms, indicating that businesses are having a little more trouble paying their bills. We're not seeing recession yet in the CMI, but it's definitely indicating a little bit of stress happening in the economy. So those are some things we'll be watching out for in the coming months.
You can read the entire CMI report on our website at nacm.org. Also happening this week, commercial bankruptcy trends continue to take the business world by surprise. But as the economic tides turn, businesses will likely be strapped for cash and unable to pay their creditors. Sharon Beausoleil is a partner at Foley & Lardner LLP. She says creditors should be paying close attention to the supply chain if they want to spot customers in financial distress.
We also are seeing companies who themselves may not be facing financial distress, but who have vendors or customers who are facing financial distress. And so they are taking a look at their contracts to see what they can do to mitigate if their customer goes into bankruptcy. If a company's been trying for, say, the past 2 years to navigate the supply chain issues, at some point it may be something that they've been able to navigate it, but some other factor or circumstance is causing them additional distress now.
John Simon is also a partner at Foley & Lardner LLP. He says another way to stay ahead of customers on the road to bankruptcy is to get multiple departments involved outside of just credit and collections.
You need to diligence and have a team at the company that is comprised of oftentimes people from the finance department, the sales department, the purchasing department, depending on reviewing whether there are troubled or financially distressed suppliers or customers, and the legal departments, to be prepared and review for these types of situations in advance, so that it's not the case that the first time that you hear of a situation, you realize you haven't been paid for 3 or 4 months, and meanwhile, you've been shipping, and then the company is in bankruptcy the next day.
To learn more from Simon and Beausoleil about protecting your company from financially distressed suppliers and customers, be sure to register for their webinar on September 13th. Next, we're taking a look at how the majority of credit departments use a limited amount of automation in their processes, and some don't use any at all. According to a recent E-News poll, most credit departments use automation in 25% or less of their processes. Charlotte Vasek is the director of credit at Worth Wood Group. About 25% of her department's processes are automated.
I think the more processes that we can have automated, the better off we are from a workload efficiency standpoint, but then also the accuracy. Last year, we launched the ability for our customers to log into their account, view their invoices, download them, pay them online. And so we've automated the payment portion of that process. That has been really critical for us, a critical improvement for us. There's accuracy there. 100% of what the customer wants the money applied to gets applied to it, and nobody has to touch it.
VASEC recommends building your case for automation by starting with the foundation of customer service benefits, then addressing workload and revenue benefits.
It's really about making the case on why it's beneficial for the company and why it's beneficial for the customer. This is a better customer interface. Like, the customers have been asking for it, so we want to provide them with a service level that meets their needs. So in order to do that, we need to provide them with what they want. And if they want to be able to look at their accounts online, then we should be able to provide them with that. And then also being able to tie it back to the fact that, hey, you know, at the end of the day, it's really about the bottom line from the executive standpoint. So you need to help them understand why, how it saves the company money. Whether it be, again, in that efficiency standpoint, it doesn't take me as many people to process that same level of payments. The information is more accurate. So being able to tie that into kind of a headcount, not really a reduction, but this is how we can continue to grow the business without having to add people.
Check out the full story online in the most recent edition of eNews. That's all for this week's episode of Extra Credit. We'll be back next Friday, but until then, be sure to follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn.